All righty, let's talk a little bit about the trees, shall we? Because there must have been some kind of blowback as Metrolinx now reverses course on chopping down 5 200-year-old trees that made up a good part of the Osgoode Hall garden at Queen and University. Little pretty area. And now they say they've got another way to work around that, which tells us, well, they probably had another way the whole time. But the tree stays. And while very, very old and certainly pretty, my next guest kind of explains, well, maybe they're not necessarily the trees we should keep. Eric Davies is an ecologist and PhD candidate with the Faculty of Forestry at the U of T. Good to have you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
This was one of those things, I know this area really well because, of course, I covered courts, and so I was always down there. So when I heard the trees were going, I was like, oh, my God, not the trees. They're so pretty. And there was a big emotion with this particular issue. Are you glad to see that the trees will stay?
Well, I'm glad to hear that there's emotion and interest behind the site because it's so beautiful. When I've looked at the trees, just casually, I see Norway maples, and I don't see old historic trees. So,
Well, I just did. I know nothing about trees. I plead no experience on trees, but I just literally talked about the Norway maple because they become a very big problem in our canopy of trees where they're trying to get rid of them because they're an invasive tree. And so that stuck out to me. It's like, oh, so you believe, because I know a lot of people will say, well, we can't cut them down, just leave them. But what is the problem with this particular tree?
Well, I think I'd kind of extend it from beyond the tree to the landscape. And I think the easiest way to kind of think about this, and it's a topic right now that's coming up, is the next week is the United Nations Conference on Biodiversity in Montreal. And one of the main things you'll hear there is that this is the United Nations decade of ecosystem restoration. Mm. And what everyone's trying to figure out is how can we work together to make the areas we have better, you know, improve their ecological health. And I think this site is a good example of how it wouldn't surprise me if the site could be improved through a collaboration of people working together if the objective was ecological health and biodiversity.
The problem is, though, you take down a big old tree like that, people get very, very angry, and it takes a long time to grow another tree.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a few things. I mean, if you look at Norway maple, I mean, this is a classic tree that it can produce in ecological terms what's called an ecological trap. And what that means is when we're landscaping and we put non-native plants in landscapes, they can actually suck in biodiversity, like pollinators, insects, birds, and fool them into thinking it's good habitat when it's not. Right? So what's happening now is this is probably the Osgoode Hall landscape, and in a lot of ways is probably a bit of an ecological trap, and actually, it could be reducing the capacity of Toronto to sustain biodiversity.
So, look, the trees are going to stay for now. I mean, clearly Metrolinx did not want the bad headlines, and they're going to go around it. But I do think that a lot of people look at this and say, well, they're 200-year-old trees, so they're worth saving. What do you say to them?
Well, I haven't evaluated the trees or been a part of this project in any regard, so I haven't thoroughly reviewed it. But when you walk by that southeast corner, I see small trees that are Norway maples. I don't think none of those trees would be older than 100 years. And really what happens is the older a Norway maple tree gets, the more defects and damage it can cause to the environment. So it might actually be a tremendous opportunity for everyone to work together and say, whether or not you have the subway stop, but I mean, even just the grounds of Osgoode Hall, like I heard that Osgoode Hall is often called the greatest room in Canada. And if you go inside the building, it's just outstandingly
beautiful
and very
it's
functional.
Yep.
But outside, you couldn't claim that it's the most beautiful lawn or green space. So,
but Eric, it's green. It's the only green we've got. I mean, I think because, look, it's a very old building. You've got the cobblestone all around it. Mm-hmm. You've got the beautiful oldness of the wrought iron gates and the trees. And so people look at it and go, wow, just this little tiny jewel in what is basically a parking lot.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think, look, for me and my colleagues in forestry is like a long-term field where you're thinking hundreds of years down the road. And you always approach a site and you go, well, what's the health now? And, how are we going to steer this ecosystem in a direction that'll produce increasingly high benefits over time? Mm-hmm. So It is one of those tricky things, I think, with anything. You look at it, and if the goal is to improve it over time, you want to have set in motion a plan that serves to that. But, you know, generating conversation on the value of green space is a great thing. So hopefully by people coming together and chatting, perhaps there's something that'll make it a better site at the end of the day.
So when experts like you in your field heard like Metrolinx was going to take these trees down, was it met with okay, probably a good thing, but the general public is completely outraged?
Yeah, and I think you know, look back to the United Nations conference. One of the biggest challenges we have is how can we utilize and capture development to make the world a better place, right? And so, you know, I guess I just believe there's so much potential for people to work together. And if we have our goals set clearly, then we can reach those goals. But if we're too focused on contemporary aesthetics and what is aesthetically beautiful to us, then it could really hinder progress and us identifying and reaching goals we have for the environment, for people in the city.
I don't need to tell you, Eric, how much people love their trees in this city. It's like they love their trees. And so it's, I think, a hard argument to make. And so I found it fascinating when I heard, well, we saved the trees, but maybe we shouldn't have had to. I think that's an interesting twist to this.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's, you know, again, it's the greatest room in Canada, has been said. It could be the greatest front yard, greatest green space. And so, yeah, it's an exciting time. And, you know, hopefully, who knows, right? This has obviously started a great conversation around this. And there's a lot of capacity with the people involved in this site. And I would hope that this would be an example of how the system can be improved, and how by working together and having clear goals, we can say, you know what, we could actually, like, if you look at the Cultural Landscape Foundation, I noticed they've got this landscape on their on their registry. And if you look at, I think even right now, especially if you look at how people and citizens and governments are valuing land and green space, it's really changing from human aesthetics to something that is more functional, that actually does work for us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, there's so much research coming out now on the human health benefits of biodiversity. They call it forest bathing or Shinrin-yoku. And what they find is that if you go sit amongst non-native vegetation that has no biodiversity, the benefits you get are greatly reduced. Whereas if you're sitting next to native nature that has biodiversity in it, the benefits are much greater. So even in terms of provisioning social benefits to people of downtown Toronto, the greatest benefits would be found in a healthy ecosystem.
All right. Well, dear Metrolinx, call that guy. Call this guy Eric, or get the tree experts, because they probably could have saved themselves a lot of grief by having someone argue. By the way, this is probably a good thing. But nonetheless, here we are with the latest, and we'll see where it goes. Very much appreciate the clarification.
Yeah, all the best.
Eric Davies is an ecologist and PhD candidate with the Faculty of Forestry at the University of Toronto. So again, a lot of emotion with these trees. The question then becomes, maybe don't be so emotional. Maybe they're not supposed to be there. But again.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.